This is the evening update on 88.5 KCSN. I'm Paige McIntyre with complete coverage of the day's events in the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles County. In our report tonight, riders on the Metro Red and Purple subway lines are now required to have their fare loaded onto tap cards to gain access. A lawsuit has been filed seeking local control of Ontario International Airport. The Supreme Court says a key provision of the Landmark Voting Rights Act cannot be enforced until Congress can decide which states require federal monitoring. The president of the Associated Press says the Justice Department violated its own rules when it seized records for thousands of journalists' phone calls. The majority of motorists are aware that texting while driving and cell phone use are dangerous, and this behavior is more likely to lead to a traffic accident. In Southern California weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-60s to around 70, sunny tomorrow with highs of 93 to 102. The Metro train system is requiring riders of the subway and light rail lines to have a tap card loaded with appropriate fare to access the subway lines. The Metro train system has been primarily operating on the honor system. Now there are latch gates at Union Station that will require riders to have train fare loaded on a transit access pass card. Metro spokesman Paul Gonzalez says their goal is to advocate a fair transportation system.
Our goal all along has been to develop a fully seamless regional transportation system. And that really can't be accomplished unless we have one fare system. And so the TAP is a universal fare system.
Riders could face fines of about $250 if they're caught on a train without proof of a fare payment. Gates at the 15 other red and purple line stations will be latched by this summer. Metro says gates at gold, green, and blue line stations could be latched during the beginning of the fall. Some light rail stations are too small to accommodate latching gates, so fare inspectors and sheriff's deputies will be on patrol to ensure riders are paying their way. And Ontario city officials have rejected a request made earlier this month by Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa to restart negotiations over the transfer of the LA Ontario International Airport. Attorney for Ontario Rory Goldberg says Villaraigosa made an offer on the condition they drop the lawsuit against Los Angeles World Airports. Since 2007, passenger levels have dropped 40%, from 7.2 million to nearly 4 million passengers. Goldberg says the citizens of Ontario would ultimately benefit from having local control of the airport.
The benefit to the citizens of Ontario would be that their airport would be owned and operated by a public body that would have the best interests of the Ontario International Airport and its community, opposed to a colonial-type ruler, Los Angeles, that has a conflict of interest, an inherent conflict of interest, because it wants LAX to thrive.
Ontario is open to resuming negotiations, but Goldberg said he has no interest in withdrawing the lawsuit. Negotiations broke down after Los Angeles offered to give up the airport to Ontario for $475 million, and Ontario wanted to pay $275 million. Ontario officials are looking to renew negotiations when Mayor-elect Eric Garcetti takes office on July 1st. Goldberg says they would not be opposed to an agreeable deal with Villaraigosa if they can reach one in the remaining weeks of his term. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors has voted to create a Citizens Blue Ribbon Commission to review proposed reforms of Child Welfare Agency. Each of the five supervisors will appoint two new members and make recommendations for the agency by the end of this year. The supervisors' actions were prompted by the death of 8-year-old Gabriel Fernandez, whose parents have been charged with his torture and murder. The county's Department of Children and Family Services had conducted 6 prior child abuse investigations into Gabriel's family, but had not removed him from the home. Board Chairman Mark Ridley-Thomas says the issue is urgent and needs to be addressed with a fresh set of eyes. Supervisors Zev Yaroslavsky and Don Kanavi opposed the new commission, saying the county has already received hundreds of recommendations from different entities. It has not been determined how much access commission members will have to documents, including confidential case files. Agency Director Philip Browning says he supports giving commission members access to the files after approving a background check and an agreement not to disclose confidential information. The Department of Public Social Services struggles to increase enrollment in the federal food stamp program known as CalFresh. In Los Angeles County, 1.1 million low-income Americans and legal residents have received up to $200 per individual every month for groceries. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates every $1 spent on CalFresh generates $1.79 in economic activity. Many people reject the benefits because of the stigma attached to food stamps or fear they will lose their immigration status. MEND Information and Referral Specialist Gabriel Ramos says Latinos are very proud culture and it takes a lot for them to ask for help. Both the House and Senate are considering separate bills that will take billions of dollars away from the federal food stamp program if people do not take advantage of the benefits offered. The Supreme Court has ruled a provision on the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to be unconstitutional. The Voting Rights Act determines which states and localities need federal permission before changing their voting laws. The decision puts an end to the advance approval requirement to open up polling places to minority voters. Advance approval had been included in the law to give federal officials a strong tool to overcome efforts of excluding African Americans from voting. The ruling has also put changes in the process of passing election-related legislation in the affected states and local jurisdictions. United States Attorney General Eric Holder says the court's ruling points out voting discrimination still exists and will not allow misuse of the court's ruling.
Let me be very clear. We will not hesitate to take swift enforcement action using every legal tool that remains to us against any jurisdiction that seeks to take advantage of the Supreme Court's ruling by hindering eligible citizens' full and free exercise of the franchise.
The Supreme Court is re-examining the ongoing necessity of laws and programs aimed at allowing racial minorities access to major areas of American life. The Obama administration and civil rights groups say there is a continuing need for oversight. Supporters of the provision say the ability to bail out of the prior approval argue that the court should leave the Voting Rights Act intact. Coverage has been triggered by past discrimination not only against African Americans, but also other races including Asian Americans and Hispanics. The requirement currently applies to states including Alabama, Georgia, and Texas. The Department of Justice has violated its own rules when seizing phone records of thousands of Associated Press journalists as a part of a leak investigation. The department failed to notify APA in advance of the subpoena. Department guidelines say a delay in notification is justified only if needed to protect the integrity of its investigation. However, Associated Press President and CEO Gary Pruitt says the seizure was unwarranted in this case and threatened the very foundation of the freedom of press.
Had DOJ come to us in advance, we could have helped them narrow the scope of the subpoena. And if DOJ and AP didn't agree, then a court could decide which was right. There was never that opportunity.
The records of more than 20 AP phone lines had been obtained in secret in April and May of 2012. Attorney General Eric Holder says the secret gathering of AP phone records was required for a serious national security leak. President Obama has ordered discussions between the news media and the department of how it should treat the media when investigating the national security leak. A July 12th deadline has been set for Holder to recommend any changes to the Department of Justice's procedures. The University of Alberta researchers are determining several characteristics of people that use cell phones while driving. The data is useful for police and policymakers seeking to change offenders' habits and for public awareness campaigns. The top cell phone users are those who earned $100,000 per year, and the lowest income earners have the lowest level of cell phone use while driving. PhD student at the University of Alberta, Abu Nurula, says the majority of people who use their cell phones while driving are those with higher incomes.
The result shows that people with higher income are more likely to use cell phones. So the fine the system in the long run. So social education campaigns can be benefited. For instance, when people enroll themselves in driving schools, then the instruction can be given to them that will educate people about the danger of using cell phones.
Men outnumbered women by almost 10% in cell phone use while driving. The largest proportions of offenders in both groups are in the 35 to 44 age group. The survey also highlighted people's perceptions of the dangers of using a cell phone while driving. The majority of the people surveyed have agreed that texting while driving is likely to result in a collision. In contrast, a small number of people say they don't believe cell phone use impairs driving. The community of Tarzana officially announced a 2.5-acre construction plan of their new state-of-the-art medical facility located off of Ventura Boulevard. The Ventana Medical Plaza will provide versatile services, including one of the largest neonatal intensive care units in the entire San Fernando Valley. The project will cost $70 million and is the first major office development in the Tarzana in nearly 20 years. TriStar Realty Group CEO Daniel Kashani shared his excitement about the Ventana.
This is going to offer the community the class A medical office space. It's going to bring jobs. It's going to be a huge investment into the Tarzana. It's been a long process. It's been 5 years since we bought it, and now that we're finally getting close to building it, it's an absolute thrill.
Kashani says the medical office will bring in 500 new jobs and will generate $210,000 in tax revenue. The building's goal is to have a transformational medical center complex where cancer professionals and other healthcare providers will have the opportunity to work together. The Drug Enforcement Administration and other federal agencies are cracking down on those who manufacture and distribute synthetic designer drugs. 375 search warrants have been served, 150 arrest warrants were issued, and bank accounts in 35 states were seized. These drugs are often referred to as bath salts. They mimic other substances such as cocaine and LSD. DEA Chief of Operations James Capra says synthetic drugs can pose a real risk to users.
They cause acute psychosis, which causes people to do incredible harm to themselves and to others. And there's been plenty of reports on what's happening, from young men and women committing suicide, to people running into the street, to people attacking other people, seeing that they see things.
The synthetic drugs may be marketed as herbal incense to teenagers and young adults. It is a growing illegal industry that has led to increases in emergency room visits around the country. Traffickers have netted millions of dollars. The West is battling one catastrophic wildfire after another, but the federal government is spending less on its main program for preventing the blazes. The ballooning cost of battling the ruinous fires has taken a bite out of the federal efforts to remove the dead trees and flammable underbrush that clogged the forests. President Obama has proposed a 31% cut for the fiscal year that begins in the fall. In 1991, fighting fires accounted for 13% of the Forest Service budget. Last year, it was 40%. The U.S. Forest Service says it expects to treat 1 million fewer acres than it did last year. The Forest Service says it must clear flammable materials from at least 65 million acres to reduce the danger of wildfires. Wildfires have grown in intensity and costs across the nation because of a combination of high temperatures, drought, and infestation of pine-killing beetles. During the last year's tough fire season, the Forest Service overspent its budget by $440 million. The former Holiday Inn in Santa Monica is being transformed into a proposed hotel and condominium development that could cost as much as $175 million. The owners have come up with a plan to demolish the aging hotel and erect a three-tiered showplace that emphasizes views of the Pacific Ocean. There will be outdoor terraces, a rooftop restaurant, and sea vistas from every possible angle. The City of Santa Monica and other public and private investors are in the process of spending hundreds of millions of dollars around the hotel site. An Expo Line station is scheduled to open two blocks away in 2015. The Seaside City is planning to convert the western end of Colorado into a pedestrian-friendly gateway. In Southern California weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-60s to around 70. Sunny tomorrow with highs of 93 to 102. I'm Paige McIntyre, KCSN News. Listen each weeknight at 5 p.m. for the KCSN Evening Update from the award-winning Cal State Northridge Journalism Department.